The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, at Real Cody Mallory on Twitter. Tonight, I am joined just by Joe Farrow on Twitter. That is at the Joe Farrow. How's it going, Joe?
It's going good. That was a good game for once. Look at us.
Look at that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say it was a good game. Like, they won, which at this point is all I care about.
Well, that defines good game for me, just the Nets winning.
Fair enough, I guess. These stretch of games against pretty bad opponents, as long as they win, like you said, I don't really care how they win. Before we go into the Nets game, there was three other opponents. So 7, 8, 9, and 10 in the conference were all in action tonight. Obviously, the 10 seed, the Brooklyn Nets, took care of business against the Houston Rockets. We'll go more in depth on that game in a second. The 9-seeded Charlotte Hornets got blown out by the Miami Heat 144-115. So the Nets move a full game ahead of Charlotte. Remember that Charlotte does hold the tiebreaker if they do tie. In addition to that, the 8-seeded Atlanta Hawks lost to the Toronto Raptors 108-118. So the Nets are now tied with them. However, the Nets hold the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, shockingly, lost to the tanking Orlando Magic.
With no Cole Anthony.
Their starting lineup was Chuma Okeke, Franz Wagner, Mo Bamba, Markelle Fultz, and Jalen Suggs. They lost 115-120. Granted, they were without Jarrett Allen and Mobley, but still, horrible loss by Cleveland, but thank you very much. And at the end of the night, it's only 9:55, right around there. Your Brooklyn Nets, Joe, are back in the eighth seed.
This is what we needed. They once again
control their own destiny for the eighth seed. And with the game Friday against Cleveland, they have a chance to get that seventh seed. If the Nets beat Cleveland, they're going to need Cleveland to lose one other game, and the Nets will pass them for the seventh seed. And I just want it to be known that Cleveland plays the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm trying to find what day they play the Bucks. I think it's Saturday. No. Hold up. I'm pulling up the schedule right now. Yeah, so they play the Nets Friday. Mm-hmm. And then they play the Bucks on Sunday. So if the Nets beat the Knicks tomorrow and beat the Cavs and then beat the Pacers, and the Cavs lose Sunday, the Nets are the seventh seed in the East. And they would host two play-in games. The first one, if they lose, they would get to host either the winner of most likely the Hornets or the Hawks, which would mean the Nets would have to lose two games at home in a row in order for them to not make the playoffs. Joe, from where we were yesterday, crazy.
It's insane. It really is insane because we were even talking on the pod yesterday about, man, there is a chance that we get stuck in that 9-10 matchup and we don't even get a chance to make the playoffs. The Nets season might be done. But now, like, it's crazy how quick 24 hours can change a situation in the NBA. Granted, we are still in the play-in. That is true. We're going to stay in the play-in. But
correct.
But it's a much better situation in reality because now we are at the 8th seed. The Nets just need to handle business in their last three games against the Knicks, who do not have their star player in Julius Randle. Star, I will use heavy quotes on. I will use heavy quotes on star. And then we play the Cavs, which we are going to. Hopefully going to get a free Kyrie Irving t-shirt. And then they are also depleted. We don't know if Jared Allen is going to play. Evan Mobley is out with something else right now, I believe. And then the Pacers, who are tanking, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm predicting right now Tyrese Haliburton is going to go for 35 on us in that last game of the season. So that's just what's going to happen. It's just how it always happens. Yeah. But hey, like those are three games where if we take care of business, the Nets could be hosting two play-in games, or hopefully we're only hosting one and we get into the playoffs as the seven seed, play the two, and just go on our merry way.
Yeah, man. Like the seven seed, we all thought, for good reason, was completely like out of play. But the Cavs, if they lose the Nets on Friday and then they lose to the Bucks on Sunday, and the Bucks still could be playing for something. If they think the Nets are going to get the seven seed, maybe the Bucks are going to try to move up to one. I don't know if they can get there. I think they'd have to get some help from Miami, obviously. But it's still doable. Like, it's not mathematically out of play yet. The Cavs could lose.
If we're the seven and we beat the two and the Bucks are three, we play them round two.
Yeah, right.
At that point, another the eight, but
yeah.
Play who's in front of you, beat who's in front of you.
Correct. The Cavs could end up losing their last four games in the regular season, going into a potential play-in game against the Nets in Brooklyn, and they got some injury concerns. So, yeah. I mean, it's all coming together nicely. Toronto. Oh, also, I'd like to say that Cleveland is officially locked into the play-in tournament, so we know the four teams that'll be in it. It's just a matter of seeding, but it will definitely be Cavs, Nets, Hornets, Hawks. And the seeding is who the hell knows, but we'll find out.
Crazy how it's still in such limbo with only three games left. Like, it's insane. That's the beauty of the play-in tournament. It just makes for some insanely critical, crucial, fun games to close the season where it hasn't always been like that. So that's just another example of the NBA trying to adapt and just change their league, make it better. And I believe it's better. And then, like we were saying a few episodes ago, this play-in tournament was designed to get the biggest stars on mediocre teams into the NBA. And I mean, like, there's some examples of it this year. Like, they did that, I believe it was like the Pelicans were the team right on the outside the first year it was in play. So they wanted Zion Williamson to get in the playoffs. He didn't make it. Like LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, it's looking likely that they do not make the playoffs right now, which is crazy with 10 seeds just at least to get one playoff / play-in game, you know. But it's just like, it's crazy. I think the play-in tournament was just like, it's such a huge win for the NBA in general. That's just like, you start off with three nights of full-on elimination games to start your playoffs, and then you go into best-of-seven series with seeding still in limbo up until the day that the first round of the playoffs starts, no matter what, because seeding is going to be determined by the play-in. So it's a huge win. It's a lot of fun. Gets more guys opportunities to get into the playoffs that maybe didn't have a great season, derailed by injuries and stuff. But yeah, and I mean, you were just saying Cleveland's on a little bit of like a slide right now, but man, like, I still won't count them out. We know what guys like Darius Garland and Caris LeVert, and like, you know what we know firsthand, especially what Caris LeVert can do. If Jared Allen finds a way to play, or even if Mobley finds a way to play, that's still going to be a competitive game. especially because the Nets couldn't even really like satisfyingly put away Houston tonight for a long time. They kept allowing them back in the game, but every game is going to be a battle. Just trying to solidify your seeding. If the Nets go into the playoff as the number 7 seed, that's something that none of us really expected over the last few weeks. And it would just be a huge credit to the team in general, just that they fought back into this spot. Obviously, we got a little bit of scheduling help with an easy schedule, and that's what we would really need to take advantage of to get that 7. But overall, just being in the 7-8 bracket first, just being able to have the insurance of a loss in the first game is huge for a team like the Nets. It's been very inconsistent and injury-riddled so far this year, especially as of late.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, man, I agree. And I think I'm looking at this wrong. I'm pretty sure if the Nets win out, which would mean Cleveland would go 1-1. So they would, even if they beat Milwaukee, so I would put them at 44-38 to finish. The Nets, if they win out, would also be at 44-38. And the Nets would hold the tiebreaker over the Cavs. The series is currently 2-1 Nets.
Game, right? By beating the Cavs Friday? They would hold correct. That if they beat the Cavs Friday? Yeah.
Well, right now the series is 2-1. So if they win, they hold this head-to-head 3-1, which means they have the tiebreaker over Cleveland. Even if Cleveland would go on to beat Milwaukee, the Nets would still have the 7th seed. So if the Nets win out, they are the 7th seed in the East, no matter what else happens.
No matter what else Cleveland does, yeah.
Correct, because they would be tied.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's the scenario for Cleveland if they lose to us. Because, like, Cleveland, if they lose out, they could fall to the 9-10.
Correct.
And which that is also crazy because Cleveland was – they at the All-Star break, they were the 3 seed, right?
Yeah, they were up there. I don't
they
know
were,
exactly
they were either 3 or 4. I know they were 3 or 4 because they were, like, the big shock of, like, the first half where everybody's just like, oh, the Cleveland, they're so good. No, nobody expected it. Them and the Bulls, and now they're both probably – well, the Bulls clinched the 6. But
yes, they did.
Big news with the Bulls today, who will be matching up most likely against like a Boston or a Miami or a Milwaukee round 1. Lonzo Ball likely out for the season. Definitely not good for them. Like that's a 15 point per game scorer for them. 6 assist guy, probably their best perimeter defender. That's a huge loss knowing that you're not going to get a guy of the caliber of Lonzo Ball back, especially going into a playoff series against one of the Goliaths in the East. And all of them are playing extremely hot right now. So,
yeah,
man, that's rough for the Bulls, especially when like They haven't gotten a production from a guy like Nikola Vucevic hasn't really been up to speed. I think Zach LaVine is also dealing with an injury right now as well. I don't know the status of Caruso. I think he's been in and out of the lineup with some injuries. But man, the Bulls and the Cavs were like the two biggest stories of the first half of in the East. Because just like everybody else was kind of performing up to expectations until the Nets fell off a cliff. And then Boston had a huge second half surge, taking over a bunch of spots. Now they're like the two, and it's all flexing back and forth every game. But yeah, I mean, the Bulls are in trouble. They really are.
For sure. 100% agree.
I don't know how, man, but they had such a promising first half. They're in trouble. Let's focus. We focused on the teams that we might play in the play-in. That's all we got to worry about right now. Worry about the other stuff when it comes.
I'm just saying there's a chance that Milwaukee finishes four. I'm looking at the standings right now, where the Nets could play Philly in the first round and then potentially Boston in the second round and avoid Milwaukee until the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think.
You're saying if we get the seven, if Milwaukee finishes four?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
There's a possibility. I mean, that's – if the season ended, like, that's a very strong possibility right now. Milwaukee's currently four.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, there's really no way to tell what's going to happen. Milwaukee plays the Celtics on Thursday, which is obviously a huge game. They're kind of in that spot with Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee are all within like a half game of each other, I think. So that's going to be a big game for seeding. But let's just focus on what we can control, I guess, as a Nets fan and what the Nets can control. And it was tonight beating the Rockets. Joe, what are your takes on tonight's game?
I definitely feel like we should have put it away a lot earlier. We have this habit of going up around 15, 16, 17 and letting them go on like a 9-0 run, letting them back in the game. I believe by the end of the third quarter leading into the fourth, they went on a 12-0 run. Nets responded, actually, though, with a 9-0 run. Kyrie Irving was phenomenal. He's back. Like, he had a rough couple games, but Kyrie showed out tonight. He put the team on his back. He knew how important these games are to close out the season. And Kyrie, he really did put on a show. I believe he knocked down 8 threes tonight. He had like 42 points. Just absolutely on fire. And a game that the Nets needed with everything else that the Nets possibly could have wanted lining up for them tonight. The Nets are now back in the 8th seed after Kyrie Irving carried us to a W. I won't say it was a good game because it was stressful when it really didn't need to be. And anybody that listened to this podcast and listened to me say hammer the Rockets to cover the 18-point spread, you're welcome. Because that was just
true.
That was just a gimme with the way the Nets play basketball. Like, we can never have anything easy. I will never expect the Nets to blow out anybody, even though we probably should. But that's just not how we operate as a franchise, apparently. So I thought it was a much needed win, and everything else that we could have had go right went right for the Nets tonight, which is not something that Nets fans usually get to witness. So that's a big win, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie was tremendous, as you already said. I mean, my biggest concern besides to win the game is that you got to play the New York Knicks tomorrow. And in a game against the Rockets, who are now 20-60. I mean, they've got some good young players, obviously Kevin Porter, Green. I was very impressed by Sengun, or yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Iron Eagle wouldn't let you forget that he was on the floor.
So. I know, bro. Like 8 times the possession, he kept saying it. But Sengun. I mean, the Rockets are like, they're not a good team. And they got some young players, but they're not good.
I mean, tonight is the 5th game in a row where Jalen Green scored 30 points. So, correct.
And like Kevin Porter at 36. Like, they have some pieces, but they're not a basketball team. Like, they were literally not. They weren't running offense. They didn't run any offensive sets. Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but it was really just like ISO, pass the ball the other side, ISO, swing the ball, ISO over here. Like, they didn't run any offensive sets. But, anyways, you had Kyrie Irving play 40 minutes and Kevin Durant play 37. And now they got to go play the Knicks tomorrow. And I don't care who's playing for the Knicks and who's playing for the Nets. Those games are always close, in my opinion. Like, they always come down to the wire. Now, granted, the Nets have won, like, I think the last six or seven against the Knicks, but they've all been close.
Mm-hmm. They've all been decided within, like, 5 points, right? I believe we said this after the last game.
Yeah, I gave, like, the total. I think in, like, six games they've been decided by, like, 20 points or 22 points or something with the Nets winning them all. So, like, I mean, the Knicks have some players that can score, shoot the ball. I don't know their injury report off the top of my head. I know there's no Randall, but they got Barrett, Fournier, Mitchell Robinson. Obi Toppin's been playing good basketball. So, like, it's not a gimme. And you got Kyrie playing 40 minutes. And now you got to go ask him and probably play another 40 tomorrow. But
so the Nets, I mean, the Knicks injury report, Derrick Rose not playing, Julius Randle not playing, Nerlens Noel not playing, Cam Reddish not playing.
Yeah, so pretty much besides Randall, they have their team.
Yes.
Because the rest have been out. And, like, the Knicks aren't really playing for anything because they've been eliminated for a while. But you know they would love to spoil the Nets, kind of that New York rivalry. You know they would love to F the Nets over and kind of knock them back to the 10th seed. Absolutely. You just know they would love to do it.
It's on National Television on ESPN, so it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I would have liked to see Kyrie play 32 minutes and Kevin Durant play 30 minutes, but they played 40 and 37. It is what it is. They won the game. That's all that really matters. No one got hurt. And maybe we can see Seth Curry play tomorrow against the Knicks. Steve Nash said today before the game that he's hopeful he can play tomorrow, but he once again said something along the lines of that rest isn't really going to cure his ankle, which leads me to believe he's definitely surgery bound come the offseason, and they're just trying to get through the playoffs with him being able to contribute whatever they can.
Yes, that definitely seems accurate to me, at least. Just real quick, they have Bruce Brown said that the Nets right now are motivated to get the seventh spot. Just said that in his postgame presser.
Yeah, I just saw that as well.
So they're motivated. We all want it. Gotta happen. Gotta bear down.
Bruce Brown said he did not work with Kyle Korver on the three ball this summer. He said it was all me. Bro, like, I gotta give some love to Bruce Brown. He might be the third best player on the Nets. I mean, Seth Curry's up there. Obviously, Ben Simmons, but he hasn't played yet, so I don't count him. But yeah. Bruce Brown is just
team as currently constructed. I'll put Bruce at like swing three or four, either him or Seth Curry. I'll probably put Seth a little bit above Bruce, but Bruce, second half Bruce Brown, man, just insane.
He was like playing point guard at points tonight. He came off the screen, I think it was Claxton, right at the top of the key, went off the screen, left hand, pull up three, nothing but net. Like, he played center last year. He was the center for the Nets. Like, realistically, he was the Nets center. And now he's like a guard, like handling the ball. Like, what? Where did this man come from?
It's like, let that man flourish, man. He's like, he's surrounded by so much that he can facilitate so easily, and he could get his own shot so easily. He's so much more aggressive going to the rim. He's able to knock down the three ball if needed. He's just a completely different player now than he was last year. They were using him differently, and I am so damn glad that we finally gave that man room to operate. And like,
I agree.
And I mean, the real, I would 1,000 times out of 1,000, I will run point Bruce Brown over point James Johnson, and James Johnson did not play tonight, which is the reason why the Nets won.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets don't need him in the rotation.
Went over this.
Kessler Edwards is good again tonight. Like, he gets up for rebounds. Like, he jumps high.
Very, very big hustle. He has hustle rebounder Hall of Fame on that kid.
Hall of Fame. Hell yeah. And I mean, even his offensive game, like, he's definitely a better shooter than James Johnson. But comparable.
You think?
But I don't know. I know the other day, like, Steve Nash said, that's a front office decision, but he said don't rule it out that Kessler makes the playoff roster, which means they would have to cut someone, but that's another wait and see. It's got to happen this week because
like we already said, James Johnson stuff and send him out of town. But yeah, Kessler, we'll Kessler had the second highest plus minus on the team tonight. He was plus 14, only behind Kyrie's plus 21. And then Andre Drummond was a plus 12 and KD was a plus 13. But beside, like, he was the second highest. And then it's all little suspects in the same area.
Yeah, I mean, I know the game wasn't like ever truly in question or in danger. Like, they got close-ish, but Kess was in the closing lineup tonight. It wasn't Patty Mills. It was Kess. So something to keep an eye on. I mean, you just at some point, like, common sense would tell you that he's got to be part of the team, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I mean, another thing, Cam Thomas got 16 minutes tonight.
He looks pretty good.
4 of 6 from the field, 13 points. And we did play LaMarcus Aldridge instead of Blake Griffin with no James Johnson. I didn't like that. But like, this was not the matchup to put LaMarcus Aldridge on the floor. Like, with all the young guys on the floor and how these guys are all so athletic and just attack the hell out of the rim and will move off ball all over the place just to get a wide open three. Like, this was not the game to put LaMarcus on the floor. And I said this last episode. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be the game where we play LaMarcus Aldridge after we've all been begging for LaMarcus Aldridge to play for his offense. And then he's going to get run off the floor by all the young guys on Houston. I literally said this yesterday, and that's exactly what happened. Yeah. In 17 minutes, he didn't score. He grabbed 3 rebounds. He was a -3. He was just like, he was a liability on defense, wasn't able to hit, knock down his shots tonight. That was a poor execution, I think, by Steve Nash about getting him back into the lineup. I think that this was Blake Griffin's time all day. Like, and I can't believe Blake didn't play at all. But
yeah, I think Drummond got in early foul trouble, so he had to come out. He had 5 fouls in only 20 minutes, another double-double for Drummond. I don't know if this makes sense, but maybe Nash kind of saw this as a game for Aldridge to just get some run, because let's be honest, the Nets coasted in this one. Like, Kevin Durant definitely coasted in this one. I mean, it's crazy to say it because the man almost had a triple-double, but but he definitely coasted through this one. Like, he wasn't that aggressive offensively. I mean, he knew Kyrie had it going, but he only made 4 field goals, had 7 assists, 9 boards. So maybe Nash is like, oh, this can just be like some cardio for LaMarcus Aldridge, get him back into a game in case we need him. Like, you never know.
Yeah, his cardio is literally getting run off the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, the next one, Aldridge got a little play. I wouldn't expect him to play against the Knicks tomorrow unless there's foul trouble. You said Noel's out. Obviously, they still have Robinson and Jericho Sims, who's really aggressive.
Great. We got to do that guy again.
Bro, I was watching the Knicks play the other night, and, like, he's a beast. Like, he's just really a beast on the boards. Like, offensive rebounding, like, that man is a beast. Yeah, so maybe Aldridge plays if Claxton's getting pushed around, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, not much else to really – I mean, like, that could be another game where, like, they're undermanned at the big position and you just want, like, some offensive flow. Throw Blake out there for a little bit. Like, please. He's well-rested. Yeah. Second half of a back-to-back. Don't just play 8 guys and get them all tired again. Please, give Blake some run.
It'll be interesting. I think Blake's pretty much out of the rotation for the rest of the year. I don't see him cracking back into it at this point, but
it sucks. It really does. It sucks. But Blake, whenever he has came in his spot minutes in the second half of the season, even though he's been out of the rotation for this most of the season, like, man, like, Steve Nash still sees him as Kwame, I guess. Like, I think.
Bro, I just saw your tweet.
Which one? The underwear one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a pair. There's a website that has NBA team underwear. It's pretty solid. I think I might have to spend $25 on some Nets underwear. I'm not gonna lie to you guys.
Anyway,
I knew that one would pop you. I was just not expecting you to see it while we were recording.
I was scrolling through my timeline for some quotes, and that's what I saw.
Oh man. I mean Bruce did just say these next games are huge. We want to get the seventh spot. We will have a home game in the play-in. That would be huge for us. We control our own destiny. We just got to come out with energy and play hard. And then he said, this is Bruce Brown on how fired up the Knicks crowd will be for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving together in the Garden for the first time. That's a fact. Oh my God. I don't think they want to say too many bad things because there will be 250 balls.
True.
I mean, I'm all for it. I want them two to combine for 100 points at least one time. That would be fun.
Really? I mean, yeah. There was that game against the Grizzlies when they lost, like 132-120. But I feel like Kyrie and KD very rarely, like, go off together.
Yeah, it's very rare.
I don't know if that's just me thinking that, or I don't know. I feel like when one of them goes off, the other one kind of defers.
Yeah, we've only seen it on a handful of occasions where, like, both of them score 30 or more. There's probably only been like six games, maybe at max, where they both scored 30 plus in the same game. So,
yeah.
I mean,
usually it's one scores 50, the other one scores like 25, and they still combine for 75.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can also, if KD does go for like 50 again, we cannot spoil it because, like, I think the last two times that KD has dropped 50, the Nets have lost. So we've got to.
That's crazy.
Got to capitalize on that. I did see KD the last three times he's dropped 50. It was all in the same shooting splits, and every game was like 62% from the field, dropping 50 points. They literally like the same amount of shot attempts and makes on all three of them, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh, man. He's one of the best, if not the best.
The best, not one of the best.
I said if not the best.
I'm telling you, he is the best. All right, Joe.
All right, fine. You're going to be real mad when I take your Kyrie Irving t-shirt on Friday.
Bro, I'm like, yeah, if the Nets win tomorrow, that game Friday is obviously huge. Like, I'm hyped, man.
I cannot wait to go to that game. That atmosphere is going to be electric. That right now is the biggest game of the season for the Nets. It absolutely is.
Yeah. I mean, if the Nets win tomorrow, I would say that game Friday night is basically for whoever is going to play at home against that same team. So if the Nets lose, they're most likely going to Cleveland for the first round of the play. And if the Nets win, Cleveland's most likely coming back to Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, they would have one other team, but.
Yeah. I doubt that the Nets are going to lose to the Pacers. They're just tanking, and like, I just don't see it happening. Honestly, the game against the Knicks tomorrow, I still think the Nets should win pretty handedly, but it concerns me a little bit. So if they win tomorrow, going to Friday night, it's literally like who wants to play who at home.
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Brown just said we want to be at home. We want at least one game at home in the play-in. And I mean, if we get the seven, we're guaranteed two games at home in the play-in, worst case. So, I'll tell you right now, I would say, like we were saying last episode, two games on the road in the play-in, elimination games, I don't think we would have any of us trusted this Nets roster to really like be fully confident in them being able to get in. But two games at home in the play-in elimination games, there's no way. It's just the Nets will take care of business.
100% agree. I'm feeling good again about the Nets. I'm feeling optimistic. I don't know if it was hearing Ian Eagle on the call again. I miss that, man. Like, whenever I hear Ian Eagle call a basketball game, it just makes me happy. Oh yeah. No matter what,
and I mean, no and like what all, game it is. Like all of the Nets crew guys are awesome, but it's just like it feels different whenever Ian Eagle isn't there. And like the more annoying thing is like when Ian Eagle's calling another team. It's just like,
yeah.
It's like, I mean, Grady and Rucco and Kustak, they're all fantastic. Like I think that the Nets probably have the best broadcast team in the NBA, maybe only behind the Charlotte Hornets, because whatever that dude's name is, he is absolutely electric. That dude is fucking electric. I love that guy. He makes every LaMelo or Miles Bridges highlight absolutely phenomenal. But Ian Eagle on the call definitely is more of like a soothing feeling. Like I like knowing that we could be in the middle of like a 2-point game with 3 minutes left and Ian Eagle could be focused on somebody spilling a beer on the sideline.
Spillage. Ian Eagle loves his spillage. Yeah,
his spillage.
That was no knock on like Kustak or RJ or Grady or like Rucco.
Man,
Ian Eagle's just next level.
He's awesome. The guy is a man of many. I mean, he calls NFL games, he calls college basketball, calls Nets, does national TV for the NBA too. Guy is a jack of all trades and master of all of them.
Yeah, I would say he's probably my favorite commentator across all sports, football, baseball, basketball, like anything. I think he's probably my favorite.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Besides the Hornets guy, is just too electric for me. I love him.
Yeah, he's up there, but I'm gonna go Ian.
Yeah, for sure.
But we don't have Anthony's pick for tomorrow, so
we do. We looks do. Like Anthony DM or DM Doss. He said he's taking. Oh.
Yeah, I was also gonna take a win, so it looks like he's not able to make up his game there. No, I will never pick the Nets to lose against that bum franchise in Manhattan. Brooklyn owns New York and they're going to own it again tomorrow. Last time we were at the Garden, Cam Thomas hit a step back dagger. What do you think Kyrie and KD are about to do?
I can't believe this is their first time playing in the Garden together. That's wild.
I know.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Wait though. Big time game tomorrow. Garden's, we need that win.
Yeah. Garden's about to get a show.
Oh yeah. It's not the show that they want. They're looking forward to the Jericho Sims show, but that won't be the case.
Anything we missed or?
No, I think we got it all down. I think it's just move on. We'll record again tomorrow night after the game and see where we lie tomorrow night.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. So thank you for listening to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with just Joe and Cody tonight. Anthony was not with us, but he should rejoin us tomorrow, I believe. True. Just to sum, the Nets won while the Cavs, Hawks, and Hornets all lost. And it's simple. The Nets win 3 basketball games. They are the 7th seed in the East and host the first play-in game. If they lose, they host another play-in game to get into the playoffs.
Much, much better situation than we were yesterday.
Hell yeah. Nets world, baby.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.